So let's get going. Today is 2 minutes after eight, so I don't want to take anyone else's time.
Can we remind everybody to mute, please?
Absolutely, that's a great idea. Fantastic. And everyone feel free to unmute themselves if you have something to say and jump in. If you have questions, and check, you can put questions in the chat box. We'll make sure to check that every once in a while. And we'll stop at different points to review. We'll stop at different points to take questions, as we normally do here. Okay. So the story is as follows. Tonight's shir, first of all, should continue to be schus refu shleim for Rabbi Myers, Rabbi Michal Avram ben Sara Dvora, I think it is. He should continue to have refu shleima. I heard the surgery went well. His spirits are up, and he's making great strides, tremendous progress. So it should continue. And B'soch Shar Chol Yisrael, everybody should be well. Tonight's shir, if you saw on the flyer or the poster, whatever we have, we're going to be discussing Kiddush on Shabbos and what exactly one should be using for Kiddush on Shabbos. I would imagine most people find themselves using wine or grape juice. I know Kiwi Kids has provided lots of grape juice in the entire city. But there is a question, because many people find themselves using schnapps or see other people, let's say, at Kiddush and Shul, using hard alcohol for Kiddush on Shabbos. And the question is, what is the story with that? Is that okay? Is that not okay? So let's just start backwards for a second. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph Se'if Yud. Now, we saw this a couple weeks ago. I think our first week on Kiddush, we spoke about what type of cup or how should one be making Kiddush. Now, the Shulchan Aruch tells us there that one has to use a kos maleh, a full cup. Now, what's considered a full cup? Very often, I think people are familiar that they fill the cup up all the way to the brim. And many people have an idea to overflow it. A kos shel bracha, it should be overflowing, and we should receive bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, overflowing hashpah and bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that being said, just because it doesn't overflow, it does not mean it is not full. I see that my mother's listening here. Baruch Hashem, that's very exciting. And my wife and I have a joke in the house, because my father likes to overflow the cup. Now, he has a big tray that he has underneath his Kiddush cup, and all the, you know, everything's caught underneath the Kiddush cup, and it's not a problem at all. I like to keep it a little bit more contained. I don't always overflow it. It happens to my wife always laughs, because when my parents come for, when they visit us here in Chicago, I make sure that I overflow my cup, so that my father doesn't have any issues with that. But either way, nonetheless, it's still considered a full cup by the poskim if you fill it up all the way, but it doesn't even overflow. And to take it a step further, let's say a person is filling up their kos with wine or grape juice, whatever it is, and they realize, you know, the bottle's, you know, it runs out, and they don't get it all the way to the top. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Brachos, this is quoted by Rav Shechter Shlita, says that as long as the kos is 2/3 full, it's considered mali, it's considered full. And the Mishnah Brewer even points out that as long as it is full, meaning as long as it contains a revius, even if it's not completely full, it's okay. Now, a revius is an important amount. We mentioned this briefly in Shir last week, I think. But I think there is a little bit of a discussion, not a little bit. There's a lot of literature written about what a revius is. It's found a lot in the context of Hilchos Pesach with regards to having your arba kosos and what's a revius. But we're going to keep it simple. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal says that a revius is 3.3 fluid ounces. So that's the Mishnah Brewer. As long as there's a revius in your kos, then you're fine regardless of it's full or not completely full. You know, what do they say? Even when is your glass half full or half empty, as long as it has 3.3 fluid ounces, it doesn't matter how you view your cup. We'll play, that's a kos maleh. Fine, that's nikuda number one that I wanted to mention briefly. Nikuda number two that I want to mention is that grape juice counts as wine according to almost all poskim. It's an important thing to point out. I have friends, I know guys, who are very makbid to only have wine. Dafka yayin. Now the reason for that is the Gemara says that wine, the Gemara in Brachos, I want to say Lamed Hey, Amid Bez at the bottom. It could be Lamed Vav. I forget exactly what it is. It was definitely at the bottom. Is discussing the chashivas of wine. And the Gemara says there that wine is a special beverage because it's sa'id u'misameach. It sustains a person. It gets us full. You could get full from a cup of wine or from, I guess, multiple cups of wine. And not only that, it's misameach a person. A person can obviously get a little bit elated depending on how much wine they consume. So maybe there's this idea out there that we should only have wine, we shouldn't have grape juice. Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal, in a Sefer Yechav Adas over here in Chelek Beis, Simin Lamed Hey, goes through many, many shitos as to what type of wine or grape juice we should be using. It's a long tshuva. He quotes the Gaonim. We're not going to go through the tshuva at all right now, but we should know that Rav Avadya Yosef, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shlomo Zalman, quoted in Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa, many of the great poskim say that grape juice is fine. Happens to be Rav Eliashiv Zatzal said, Yudafka need wine. He says, Yudafka need wine, you can't use grape juice. Okay, fine. Now, the reason for that, I happen to think it's interesting, so we'll mention it. And that's the following. Hold on, I scrolled away from it, but I wanted to make sure I didn't write this in my notes here. But basically, the story is that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach discusses this in a tshuva. And the idea is that freshly squeezed grape juice has the potential of becoming wine, and therefore we view it halachically as wine, since it's at its very inception, we'll call it, because it has the potential, right, even prior to the fermentation, has the potential to become wine, and we can make a bori piragafen. And that's good. Now, nowadays our grape juice is pasteurized, and that kind of messes up the fermentation process, and it prevents it from occurring. And now, grape juice can no longer become wine, and that's a big problem. How could we have, you know, grape juice? We want to have at least a potential for wine. So Rav Shlomo Zalman basically writes there that since at the very moment of the schita, the very moment that it became juicy, he squeezed it out of the grape, it has potential for wine, and therefore never ever loses its status as wine. Rav Eliashiv didn't like that. He actually argued and said since it's pasteurized and it can no longer become wine, it's invalid. So that's a little bit in terms of the mechanics or the science, whatever you want to call it. But again, Rav Moshe, Rav Henkin, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Avadya Yosef all say that grape juice is fine. Interestingly, and again, this is more of a Pesach halacha, or maybe more relevant, we'll call it, for Pesach, because people don't want to have dalad kosos full of wine. You know, if you have too much wine, you're not going to get to the later end of the kosos, or later end of the Seder. So what do? So people like to mix, right? So let's say we're going to take the opinion that grape juice doesn't count, right? So then what should one do? So Rav Eliashiv actually says that if you have 25% wine and 75% grape juice, it's going to be considered wine lahalacha, and that's based on the Shulchan Aruch, that says you can add 3/4 cup of water to a 1/4 cup of wine, and that's still going to be considered wine, assuming the wine is strong and you can taste it still. And this is, in fact, what Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, Zatzal, he passed away a little while ago, actually pretty recently. But Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg was nohag, he was accustomed to doing that, of mixing. He was makbid for Rav Eliashiv, to make sure he had wine, but he would water it down or dilute it, I guess, with grape juice. So that's another tidbit about the wine grape juice thing for Friday night. Again, most poskim, I think, assume that grape juice is fine. And lastly, we'll just mention before we get to tonight's real topic, is that the Mishnah Berurah says that ideally we should have red wine for Kiddush. Ideally have red wine for Kiddush. He actually says here, I just want to find it here, in Simon Reish Ayin Beis, I think it's Sifkatan Yud, if I'm not mistaken, at the top right here. Let me just turn. Reish Ayin Beis, Sifkatan Yud, he says like this, Ulekuli Alma Mitzvah Lechatchila Lechazer Acher Yayin Adom. A person should really try to make sure they get red wine. El De'im Ein Lo Adom, O She'ino Meshubach Sfir Le Ledeyazoth. And so if you don't have the best red wine in the world, or you don't have it with you, it's again okay, it's going to be fine to use white wine. Now it happens to be, I saw this in a footnote in the Shmir Shabbos Kehochasa, that he says that red food coloring in white wine does not work. You can't drip a little bit of red food coloring in to make it red, but red wine is okay. Meaning if you drip a little bit of red wine into your white wine and it turns red, that's okay. So that's another tidbit in terms of Kiddush on Friday night and what exactly is going on. So now to get more to tonight's topic, and that's the discussion of making Kiddush on beverages other than wine. I have a lot of these sources from, there's a website called olamot.net, which we'll be using in just a moment. A fantastic resource for Maror Mekomos and Shirim and things like that. And also one of my Rebbeim, Rav Arya Leibowitz, wrote an article about this topic many years ago, and I have that saved on my computer, so I used some of those notes as well. Fine. So the story is like this. We know, we've seen in shul, we've seen maybe at homes, or at our home even, people who make kiddush on scotch or bourbon or whatever they fancy, and the question is, what is the permissibility of that? We know wine is for sure good, we know grape juice now is okay as well, but what is the story with using liquor or other sorts of beverages? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us the following. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, and maybe we'll do some share screen tonight. Hope that's okay with everybody. One moment. Let's make sure the proper screen is going to come up. Let's get the Shulchan Aruch here. Fantastic. Thank you, everybody, for your patience. Okay. Can everybody see where I am? I hope so. I hope you have that on your screen. No, you can't. Okay, Mrs. Eisenberg, you let me know. Okay, I got the thumbs up. Okay, we got the thumbs up. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. So, the Shulchan Aruch tells us here, B'makom she'ein yayin matzoi, in a place in which we do not have wine. Yesh omrim she'mekachin al sheikher, there are those who tell us you can make kiddush on beer. Ushar mashkin, and not just beer, but other beverages, seems to be pretty open. Chutz min hamayim, as long as it is not water. V'yesh omrim she'ein mekadosh, and there are those who say, no, you can't make kiddush on chamar medina, as we're going to see in a second. You can't make kiddush on other beverages. Ula harash, and according to the rush, balayla lo yikadosh al hashechar, ela al hapas. Right? So I was assuming someone was about to ask me, are we talking about Friday night kiddush or Shabbos day kiddush? So that's a question that's come up in the past two shiurim, right? So there, we're getting to that question right now. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rosh, who says that this only works, Uba Boker Yoser Tov L'Kaddish Ala Shechar. According to the Rosh, if you do not have wine Friday night, you make Kiddush on your Challah, on your Lechem Mishnah. We'll discuss that in Mirtz Hashem next week, how one is going to do that. I think the fourth Shir in this semester is about Lechem Mishnah. We'll hopefully discuss that a little bit. But Shabbos Day, Tov L'Kaddish Al HaShechar, it's best to make Kiddush on beer. Sheyavarech Lev Shahako, Kodam Bircha Samotzi. And how do you do it? Generally speaking, right, your hamotzi covers everything, so you don't make brachas before your hamotzi. Maybe that's a brach shein tzricha. So why is it that shivarech alav shahako, we make your, quote, kiddush before the hamotzi, she'im yivarech al hapas tchila in kan shum shinoi? Because if you make your hamotzi first, this is no different than any other meal, and we're going to see the Mishnah Brura in just a moment. So hold on, before we get to how it actually goes down, what's the story with making kiddush on beer? If we take a look, in Sifkatan Chav Dalid in the Shulchan Aruch. And these are the sources from Olamot, so thank you to Olamot for your beautiful sources. Shemekachan ala Sheikhar. Vidafka b'makom dehevi chamar medina. This is only when beer is considered chamar medina. What's chamar medina? Chamar medina seems to be, we're going to see in a second, a fairly common beverage. I don't want to give too many definitions yet, because that's going to be the next part of the shir. But he says, what does it mean, chamar medina? Dahainu she'ein yayin matzi b'chol ha'ir b'shana hazo. What does it mean that you don't have wine? So it must be that there, I don't know, everyone has had issues importing stuff because of the pandemic, right? You go to Home Depot, you go to Jewel, you go to any store. If they don't have it, it's because of the pandemic. Because of COVID, our production was slowed down, right? So okay, there's no more wine. Okay, fine, so you don't have wine, but there's still beer. Corona beer, who knows, right? Okay, fine, that's a terrible joke. V'ikir shtiyasan hu meshechar ushar mashkin. And the ikir shtiya is meshechar ushar mashkin, and therefore, the primary beverage that is found is going to be either beer or the other sha'ar mashkin, the other beverages. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'im yesh sham yayin. But hold on a second. Let's talk about what does it mean to not be found, right? So, okay, it wasn't imported. But let's say it was imported, but now prices are way up, right? The prices on lumber are through the roof right now. V'im yesh sham yayin ela shehu biyoker. So it's very expensive, but it's there. So says the Mishnah Berurah, mikrei masli, that is still going to be considered, found, that's still going to be considered around, and therefore because of that you should ideally be making kiddush on wine. Again, the operating assumption right now is that it's only in times when we do not have wine or grape juice available that we really can or should be making kiddush on something else, on chamar medina, on sharmashkin, and things like that. But sounds like from the Mechaber and the Mishnah Berurah, that if you have wine available, if you have grape juice available, that's really what we should be doing. Fine. But let's understand what exactly is Chamar Medina, because the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, it's still a little bit vague, right? It just said, I think the Mishnah Berurah's Lashon, was that it was Iker Shtiyasan Hu Meshechar, that the Iker Shtiyah, the primary drink. So there are really two primary Makoros that people quote when they talk about Chamar Medina. They quote the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and they quote the Igros Moshe. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, or the Rav Shulchan Aruch, depending on how you say it, that was the Alter Rebbe. It was the first Chabad Rav, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. And he says the following. I can actually pull this up also with Olamot. And he says the following. Let's just turn to the page here, because they have it further down. It's the Aruch HaShulchan. Bear with me. So he was earlier, actually. Here we go. Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So he says at the top the following. He says, a medina o ir sherov yenam shechar o shar mashkim So if you're in a city, let's say not a city, but a region, a country, or a city where majority of their wine, Sherov Yenam Sheikhar, it's going to be beer, Oshar Mashmar, it's another beverage. The Hainu, what does this mean? The Hainu Shederech Rov Anshe Ha'ir Likvoa Sudaseim Al HaSheikhar Oshar Mashkim. Says the Alter Rebbe that Chamar Medina means it's something in which you normally drink at the it's the most commonly consumed beverage. It's something that it's on the table. Every meal it has that. Now it happens to me in times of Gemara, they drink wine more often than not. Right? It happens to be. Now maybe that's a little bit less common. So says the Alter Rebbe that you go based on what's commonly consumed. Now, I'll just mention totally parenthetical, but I heard something on a podcast a little while ago. Something fascinating that apparently because of the taxes on alcohol, I don't know, I'm going to embarrass myself with years, but it was around the times of the Industrial Revolution. So there was a very high tax on alcohol, and it was only around that time did coffee become more commonly consumed. So there was some speaker who wanted to, he was building up this whole entire thing that the Industrial Revolution coincided with the with coffee being more commonly consumed in the public, and people were more awake, let's say. They weren't drunk and falling asleep because of the wine and the alcohol, but rather they were now caffeinated and they were more alert, let's say. And now they started being much more productive, and that led to the Industrial Revolution. Okay, Ayin Shem, look into that. That's a fascinating tidbit. Fine. So that is really the Alter Rebbe. Again, you have to be l'kavoa sud d'seihem. You have to set your, or be kovea your sud. It must be commonly consumed at all meals. And not only that, he adds elsewhere that it can't be such like a common, cheap, trivial drink, right? Water, the Mishnah Berurah and others point out, water is definitely not okay. You can't have water to be considered Chamar Medina. Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe and Orachayim Chelek Bez, Simen Ayin Hey, points out the following. Here's the question. B'minei Mashke Shel Soda V'chedom. If everybody sees me on this share screen still. Im Yesh L'Havdi Aleim Kedin Chamar Medina. Is soda going to be considered Chamar Medina? So says Rav Moshe Feinstein over here on the third line. He says, "Hanachonani as daiti dehin kemayim ba'alma." He says, "No way. Soda is considered water. It's definitely not as healthy as water, but halachically speaking, it's going to be considered water. Why? Da'af shishosin osam gam besudas achashuvo sumechavdim. Aye, they're on the table at all meals, especially bar mitzvahs, bas mitzvahs, weddings. There's always soda. Avahu rak kishtias mayim letzimon uliskar beyamim hachamim. People have soda when they're thirsty. People have soda." When it's cold out and it quenches their thirst and it feels good. But he says right here, we'll just skip to the line for us. What he wants to say is that Chamar Medina is something, Shosin Osam Af Belot Sorech Legufan, something you consume when you do not need it. It's not necessary. It's not going to, quote, quench your thirst per se. Ela Bishvil Kavod HaSeuda VeKavod HaOrchim. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that Chamar Medina has a little bit of a higher level of chashivas, it's a little bit more significant, and that's really the gedder, that's really the definition of Chamar Medina, Lefi Rav Moshe. It has to be a beverage that you would serve to someone, they come to your house, and you want to be mechabed them. You want to give them something fancy, you want to give them something nice, you want them to feel good. You're not just going to put some water on the table, but to have, I don't know, you have your schnapps out, you send a decanter, I don't know, something like that. So that's chashivas already, right? People put all sorts of things in decanters, but you're not going to put water in a decanter, you're not going to put seltzer in a decanter, and you're not going to put water in some sort of decanter, right? And because of that, says Rav Moshe, you can't consider certain things Chamar Medina, it has to be something that has a certain level of chashivas. Any questions up until here? Now, it would seem from here that regardless of those two definitions, you can make the case that beer and or schnapps would fall under the framework of Chamar Medina. And this is really the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and we saw this already, that beer can be used for Kiddush. The Mishnah Berurah tells us, we'll read this one inside also, just nice to see the Mishnah Berurah inside, or maybe I'll just read this inside, it's a little bit shorter. But he says the following. He says that yayin saraf, the im chaviv lo yayin saraf. Right? Yayin saraf is schnapps, hard alcohol. Yochel lekadesh alav bayom lechatchila b'medina senu. He says you're allowed to make kiddush on it inside, and it's not a problem. Now, also just parenthetically to note, what else is considered chamar medina? Maybe people are a little bit more familiar with this on not for kiddush necessarily, but for havdalah. Maybe people are much more accustomed, or not much more, but are more accustomed to making Havdalah on orange juice or beer or something like that. Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Shmir Shabbos as saying that juice and coffee and tea are all going to be considered lahalacha chamar medina. So, okay, so we have some sort of framework in terms of understanding what exactly constitutes chamar medina. Now the question is, we already alluded to this in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's nice to see it in the Mishnah Berurah, is that when can chamar medina be used? Right, so let's just quickly chazer. So far we said the following. So far we said, number one, we mentioned a couple halachos about Kiddush on Friday night, or Kiddush in general, about what constitutes a full kos. We spoke about grape juice versus wine, and we spoke about the color of the wine. That was nekuda number one. Good. Nekuda number two is we defined chamar medina. Is it going to be something that is commonly consumed, or is it something that has a little bit more chashivas to it? Good. Now, when can chamar medina be used? That's the question. So the Shulchan Aruch told us that it cannot be used Friday night. If a person does not have wine Friday night, they have to go ahead and use what? They have to go ahead and use the challah, the lecha mishnah for Kiddush. But when it comes to Shabbos day, then they can use chamar medina, and not just could, but they should use chamar medina over the wine. Now the question is why? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, and I think I was thinking about this a little bit. I think it might even give light into the shed light in the machlokas between the Alter Rebbe and Rav Moshe Feinstein. But he says like this. He says, "Ubizo habracha shehu mosif kodem asu'uda." He says, with this new shahakal that we're going to be making now before the su'uda, "hu hekir shehu lekavod hashabbos." Now all of a sudden it's a hekir. We had that word last week. A hekir means we're distinguishing. We're making this meal special. We quoted the Rambam last week about making Kiddush Hayom, right? Making Kiddush on Shabbos day after Shul, Kiddush B'makom Suda. There needs to be a heker and there needs to be a distinction. Ma she'ein kim in yevarech al hapas. If a person on Shabbos day was to make a hamotzi, so Shabbos day lunch doesn't look any different than any other meal, right? Why is it different than Friday night? So says the Mishnah Berurah, Sharei baboker in omrim nusuch ha-kiddush. Friday night we have Kiddush. Kiddush is d'oraisa on Friday night. We have a whole long nusuch of Kiddush that we find in the bencher. On Shabbos day, when Kiddush is only d'rabbanan, really all you need to say is Bori Pri Agafen. People have a custom, maybe people say it's Zachor, people start at Rishamru, some people say Al-Kain. There are many people who just say Bori Pri Agafen, and that's their Kiddush Hayom. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if you only make Hamotzi, so then your meal doesn't look any different. Therefore, you have to go ahead and say what? You have to go ahead and make your Kiddush on Chamar Medina, make your Shahakal. Now, parenthetically, I was thinking a little bit, if you think about this Mishnah Berurah, then maybe the Rav Moshe idea of Chamar Medina sticks a little bit more. Because Rav Moshe's whole idea is that it's supposed to be a Chashiv Suda. What would you give to a special guest? Whereas the Alter Rebbe was saying it's something that is ubiquitous, something that's prevalent, something that you have at every single meal. And if it's something special, so then there's a greater hecker for what? There's a greater hecker for your Su'udas Shabbos. That's what I was thinking. Anybody with me on that one? I think maybe you can answer for the Alter Rebbe, and that is no, because as long as you make any bracha before your hamotzi, you're fine, because that's different than any other meal, because normally you make your hamotzi and it covers everything in the meal. But okay, those are just a couple thoughts on that. Now, it would seem to be lahalacha that wine is the way to go, wine or grape juice. And the Mishnah Berurah says that when wine is available, one should really only be making Kiddush on wine or grape juice. So you see at the Kiddush tables, you know, sometimes in shul, there's like a, you know, sometimes they split it up, right? They have the wine and grape juice on one side, they have maybe bottles of water or seltzer in the middle, and then they have some other stuff on the other side of the table. But says Mishnah Berurah, if wine and grape juice is available, definitely go with that. Now it happens to be the Mishnah Berurah, Chavetz Chaim, the great tzaddik that he was, says we see many people making Kiddush on other beverages, not wine and grape juice. Now, why is that? So he says you can be lenient based on a combination of things. He says, first of all, he writes this in Sivkat and Chavtes, but he says, first of all, wine got very expensive. He writes the following. When wine becomes very expensive, virov shtias hamedina, humishar mashkin, lo nahagu afilu hagedolim lahader acher yayin bayom. He says, once wine becomes so expensive, so then we're not going to make everybody run after wine. and they could get something a little bit cheaper. And I think the assumption here that he's making is that beer was much cheaper than wine. And he adds, Shakiddush shelo hu rak mid rabbanan kulei alma. If Kiddush anyway during the day is a din derabbanan, so then we can be a little bit more relaxed in terms of our limitations or qualifications for Kiddush. Now, parenthetically to note, I don't know if people are looking at the labels or the price tags on some of the liquor that's consumed at Kiddushes and stuff like that, but I would imagine more money is spent on the harder alcohol than on the wine at Kiddush, but that's more of my own ha'ara at the end. Now, a question that becomes very interesting is how much does one have to consume when it comes to drinking Kiddush, right? So we already said that Rav Moshe tells us that you have to have a revius. A revius is 3.3 fluid ounces. Now the Shulchan Aruch tells us that one has to make a Kiddush on a cup that contains a revius. Now why is that problematic here if a revius is 3.3 fluid ounces? So many people, right, your average shot glass is not 3.3 ounces. If that's your average shot glass, that's a separate issue that we should be having, or a separate conversation that maybe someone should be having at some point. But a classic shot glass that a person has is 1 ounce. The plastic ones, a double shot, I think is 2 ounce, right? So if you need 3.3 ounces or fluid ounces, and not just that, but the halacha is that you actually have to consume rov kos, right? A mole lugmav is the lashon. The Mishnah Berurah discusses, despite the fact that people have different sizes, a mole lugmav, excuse me, I didn't translate that, is a full cheek, a cheek's full. You have to consume the majority of the kos, and that's going to be 1.7 fluid ounces, right? So you make your Kiddush on 3.3, you have to have 1.7. Very often, that doesn't happen, right? That would mean a person shouldn't be taking just a simple shot glass or a large shot glass. A person would need to take an actual cup, make sure there's 3.3 ounces of hard alcohol, provided that there's no wine or grape juice around, maybe, maybe not. But let's assume the person is making Kiddush on hard alcohol. So that means he has to have 3.3 fluid ounces and drink Rov Kos on one shot. That's something to point out. That's a pretty tall order, I think, for some people. Now, that being said, there is a lenient approach, right? Because you don't see people in shul. You don't see people in shul making Kiddush. I mean, I don't know what people see in shul anymore. But I would imagine a lot of people who make Kiddush on a cup of schnapps is not going to be 3.3 ounces. So what do we say? What do we say about Achinu Beis Yisrael who is doing that? So the Taz has a famous shita. The Taz writes that although normally a person has to drink a revius in order to be chayiv in saying a bracha achrona, he says that does not apply to liquor. And the svara behind that is that the revius is what constitutes a chashiv amount of liquid, of a beverage. And when you consume a chashiv amount, a significant amount of any beverage, so then you're required to say bracha achrona. However, when it comes to alcohol, so one shot is considered something chashiv. And that's what he says. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says this, and he extends this leniency of the Taz to Hilchos Kiddush. And he understands that people can make Kiddush on less than a revius. So that is the Taz. Now, it happens to be the Magen Avraham completely disagrees. The Magen Avraham, one of the foremost commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, completely disagrees with this Pesach. He doesn't like that at all. And he says Chazal didn't distinguish between types of beverages. It doesn't matter if you're having schnapps or grape juice or chocolate milk or whatever you're having, apple juice, doesn't make a difference. You have to have a particular shear. The particular shear is 3.3 ounces. We don't find anywhere with regards to a kezias when it comes to food. It depends on what type of food you're having, right? So there's a shear is a shear, and we have it as a blanket statement, and we're not making any rules. And that's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins, saying that you would need to have a revius in your kos, and a person would need to consume rov kos, which is a mole lugma of 1.7 ounces when making Kiddush. Now, there's another opinion out there, and this is another way to almost say leniently, although we're going to add a big caveat, and that's the following. The Eretz Tzvi was a great posek in Poland. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Framer, I think it was Aryeh Tzvi and not Tzvi Aryeh Framer. He had tshuvas known as the Eretz, I think Eretz HaTzvi, not Eretz Tzvi. Rav Schechter, I forget which one is which now, and I can't see my sarm shelf from the angle I'm sitting at, but I have them on the shelf, Baruch Hashem. The Kozhaglover Gon, that's what he was known as, the Kozhaglover Gon. I don't know how to spell Kozhaglov. I think when you spell it in the actual native tongue, there's like Z's and J's in there, good Scrabble word. But anyway, the point is, Rav Tzvi Ari Frommer writes the following. He wants to be matzdik the Jewish people. He wants to be matzdik the Jewish people. How could it be that Klal Yisrael is making Kiddush on a shot glass of 1 ounce? How could it be? So he says the following. He says, the measure of a revius only applies to beverages, but it doesn't apply to something that's not a beverage, right? So soup, although it's a liquid, right, is not going to be considered a beverage and wouldn't have the same shear in terms of being obligated in a bracha achrona, let's say. So he says the following. He says, the definition of a beverage is something that you drink or consume to quench your thirst. But any liquid that a person is just drinking, let's say for other reasons, so soup, we don't have soup to quench your thirst. We don't have a shot of alcohol to quench your thirst, right? Even the Russians who drink vodka like we drink water, it's not necessarily to quench their thirst. And therefore, he says the shear of a food that's going to require this bracha achrona is going to be like any other food, and that's going to be a kezias. And therefore, while a small shot glass, right, those 1 ounce glasses don't constitute a revius or a mole lugmov because it's only 1 ounce. So it would contain a kezias. And therefore, says the Eretz Tzvi, says the Kashuk lover, that really you could be making kiddush on 1 ounce, on one shot of hard alcohol. Wow, very creative, right? It's similar to the Taz. However, Rav Shechter Shlita comes along and he says this logic is flawed because if you're going to assume that it's like a kezias because it's not a beverage, but rather it's a food, so then once you assume it's a food and no longer a beverage, you can't call it chamar medina. You can't say you could be making kiddush on it, says Rav Shechter. Right? You wouldn't take a cup of vegetable soup and make kiddush on a cup of vegetable soup, even though it's a liquid. You wouldn't take a cup of split pea soup, I don't know, whatever, chicken soup. Vegetable broth doesn't make a difference. Soup. Soup's not a beverage. And once you're saying that liquor can be considered like the shear of a kezias because it's food, Mamela says Rav Shechter, you can't be making kiddush on hard alcohol anymore. Which I think is an amazing chap that Rav Shechter has, despite the fact that the Eretz Tzvi was trying to be matzdik Klal Yisrael. So again, just to quickly chazer what we've done today. We spoke a little bit about what kind of coast we're supposed to have, how full should your coast be. We spoke a little bit about wine versus grape juice. Is grape juice considered wine? And we spoke about having what kind of color, red wine, white wine, on Shabbos. We spoke about Chamar Medina. We defined Chamar Medina. We had a machlokas between primarily the Alter Rebbe and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and Rav Moshe Feinstein, whether Chamar Medina is considered something that is just prevalent and ubiquitous at meals, or is it something that you would serve when you're trying to show your guest a little bit of chashivas, a little bit of honor? And then practically, we mentioned Rav Shlomo Zalman coming along and saying that if it's at the meals, if it's found there, juice, coffee, tea would fall under the category of Chamar Medina. We spoke about when Chamar Medina can be used, and we said that can only be Shabbos day. Friday night, one should be using Lechem Mishnah, but Shabbos day, a person can be using Chamar Medina. Again, because we want to show that our Shabbos day meal is different than the rest of the week. And we spoke about the Psak Halacha, which seems to be lichatchila, a person should only be using wine or grape juice when it's available, and only opting for Chamar Medina when wine is not available. And we spoke about the pricing. The Mishnah Berurah said that just because something is expensive does not necessarily mean it is not motzoi, it is not found. Although he does say in a more a lenient take, and we mentioned this, that when it gets very expensive, so then it might fall out of use. That was what he said, right? So if it's no longer going to be as commonly consumed anymore, so then it might lose its status as Chamar Medina. Plus the fact that the daytime Kiddush is only Din D'Rabbanan anyway, so our guard is a little bit down with regards to our limitations and qualifications for Kiddush. Then we spoke about how much a person needs to consume when it comes to Kiddush. Your kos for Kiddush has to have at least 3.3 ounces. Last week, we spoke about the disposable cups, right? I think we spoke about that last week, if I'm not mistaken. But your kos has to be at least 3.3 fluid ounces, and a person has to consume at least a mole lugmav, which is going to be 1.7 ounces. You have to have at least rov kos, right, at 1.7 ounces. And we said that that is a little bit of a difficulty or a challenge, I would say, when it comes to consuming alcohol. Is a person going to have a cup, first of all, that contains 3.3 ounces? And are they going to be able to consume 1.7 ounces on one shot? I think it's the Mishnah Berurah I saw earlier tonight or today that says when it comes to consuming it, it's not supposed to be done gradually. You're supposed to have the 1.7, more or less on one shot. So we spoke about the Mishnah Brura, who said that's what you got to do, and we quoted the lenient approach of the Taz, who wanted to say that a Revius is really the standard for something that's normally consumed, right? You usually have a Revius, but maybe when it comes to hard alcohol, Yayin Sraf, so you don't normally consume that much, and the shear, which we're going to say is, let's say, one shot glass, would be deemed significant, and that's what Tzvi Pesach Frank took that and actually ran with it and applied that to Kiddush on Friday night, and he was matzdik the minog. He explained that that's why people can make Kiddush on a shot glass. However, the Magen Avraham did not like that, and that's how the Mishnah Berurah passes. Again, the Mishnah Berurah is going more machmir in this discussion. We quoted the Eretz Tzvi, Rav Arya Tzvi Frommer, the Kosher Golver Gon, who wanted to explain that a kazayas is enough because liquor is not something that people drink to quench their thirst. It's not considered a beverage. It's more akin to a food, and therefore the shear is only kazayas, which actually does fit in a shot glass. However, Hagon Rav Shechter Shlita said that once you're saying that it's more like a food and not a beverage, you can no longer make kiddush on that. Again, ask your LOR. But that's a little bit of the discussion in terms of beverages one can or cannot be making Kiddush on. Okay, thank you everyone so much for joining me. Any questions, comments, or observations? Go for it.
So, my question is, if coffee and tea are considered Chamar Medina, which you said, why isn't Pap, which, I mean, there are a lot of people who don't even like coffee or tea and drink, especially cola, more than anything else.
Yeah, so I was with you also. That's why I think, I would imagine, according to Rav Moshe, it's not okay. Because he says that, he says that soda is considered water. Right? And coffee and tea. Right, exactly. So that's why I think Rav Moshe would say that that's not okay. I think he would agree with you. Now you're saying for Shlomo Zalman, who's matir, I think this is really the question you're asking, is that according to Shlomo Zalman, who's matir, not just juice, but tea and coffee, would he also be matir of soda? I would imagine the answer is yes, but I don't know if I saw him say soda inside in the Shir Shabbos. But I can look into it.
I'm a Chicagoan.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Pop. Rav Moshe wrote soda.
Nah,
I understand. Okay, yes.
As
long as you're
talking about liquids, what about tomato juice? It's red.
I don't know. Would you say that accomplishes?
That would be a food.
Well, maybe it's a food. Maybe tomato juice is more similar to a soup. I don't know. But I would also say, meaning it's not as you don't really find, I mean, I don't know, but I haven't seen it at too many tables. You know, you go to a Shabbos meal, you go to a bar mitzvah, you go to a wedding, whatever. It's not as prevalent, I would say, as some of the other beverages. And I'm not sure if that falls under Moshe's qualification of something being a drink that's considered chashuv that you want to, let's say, impress any of your guests with. I don't know. I know my parents do. I remember my parents have V8s at their house. They do have tomato juices, but I'm not sure it, I don't know.
Well, I would serve tomato juice during the week or orange juice in the morning. What do you say about orange juice?